Tonight's scripture reading will come from Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cried for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God.
Good evening. If you've come here with any regularity, you'd know that it's not often that I'm up here speaking. I'm usually leading songs. So this is, even though I've done it a few times, still very uncomfortable for me. So bear with me. And yes, I'm aware that it's a family meeting tonight, so I won't keep you too long, because I know the oven's set. But the topic that I've decided to speak on tonight is the value of wisdom. And so I'm going to go ahead and read the verse again, Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. And is the PowerPoint working? Oh, there it is. Okay, cool. All right, so my son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it like silver and search for it as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. And so we see here, clearly told to us, it starts saying, treasure up my commandments and be attentive to wisdom and incline your heart to understanding. And if you do this, if you seek it like silver and search for it, then you will understand the fear of the Lord. And so that brings us to the question, you know, are we treasuring up commandments and inclining our heart? And so I'm going to ask a question, and each person can think to themselves, you know, how they might answer it. What are our priorities? That's a very broad question, but it should be hopefully simple to answer, but it's not so easy. All the times we get caught up in work or school or so many things, and sometimes we just live. We might not have priorities. And so if you can't answer that question, it might be time to think, you know, why am I living? Are we seeking godly wisdom in everything we do, or are we just living? And so, if given the opportunity, what do you think most people would ask of God? When I was first pondering this, I thought of, you know, why do bad things happen to good people? You've heard that one so many times, and someone might ask that. Someone might also ask, maybe at a funeral, they say, their loved one, they say, are they going to heaven? You know, and obviously we don't know the answer to that, but this is surely a question someone might ask God if they had the chance. Someone might ask, how can I be a better Christian? Which is a great thing to ask. Even though we know what we need to do to be a good Christian, you know, we might still ask God. And then I thought, well, I'm thinking from a Christ-centered perspective. Some people might not think of that. And so if they said, God said, you know, you can ask me one question, what might you ask? So I thought some people might ask for stacks of money. Who wouldn't want some more money? Or fame and fortune. I took a picture of this in L.A. Or actually, Kyle sent it to me. You know, he's had a great career. Some people might ask for immortality or some sort of superpowers. I don't know who took this picture, but that great superpowers, time travel even, unlimited food. This looks like a nice potluck with a bunch of crock pots. Other people might be a little bit more practical and ask for no pain, good health, and those are all fine things to ask. But tonight we're going to be talking about something more important than all of those worldly things, and that is asking for a godly wisdom. And so I'm going to read 2 Chronicles chapter 1, verses 7 through 12. In that night, God appeared to Solomon and said to him, "Ask what I shall give you." And Solomon said to God, "You have shown great and steadfast love to David, my father, and have made me king in his place. O Lord God, let your word to David, my father, be now fulfilled. For you have made me king over a people as numerous as the dust of the earth. Give me now wisdom and knowledge to go out and come in before this people. For who can govern this people of yours, which is so great?" God answered Solomon, "Because this was in your heart, you have not asked for possessions, wealth, honor, or the life of those who hate you, and have not even asked for long life, but have asked for wisdom and knowledge for yourself that you may govern my people over whom I have made you king. Wisdom and knowledge are granted to you. I will also give you riches, possessions, and honor such as none of the kings who were before you, and none after you shall have the like." And so we read here an example of Solomon, in this case, seeking godly wisdom. He asked for it so he could govern God's people, to be the best godly leader that he could have. And we see here that even though he was granted other things, it was because he sought godly wisdom first that he was able to realize these other things that God had blessed him with. And so he asked for this wisdom. And now we're going to talk about a story that I'm pretty sure most people are familiar with, but you might not. And so this is an example of when Solomon's wisdom is tested in 1 Kings chapter 3, 16 through 28. And so I'm not going to read all of this, but this is the story where two women came before him with one baby. While they were sleeping, one had died. And they were basically, one was arguing that it was their baby, and then the true mother knew it was her baby. But they were saying, "Solomon, how can we make this right?" And he says, "Well, easy, we'll cut it in half, in two, and each of y'all could have your own slice." And, well, sorry, not slice, but that's really what he was saying, divide it in two. And naturally, the true mother of the child said, don't let that happen, just let her have it. And so it was through that wisdom that he had intentionally prayed for that he was able to be quick on his feet like that. How many of us in that scenario would have done that? I don't know what I would have done, but it probably wouldn't have been something with that much clarity and something that could have such an easy answer soon. And so this is just an example. In our daily lives, you know, it's not going to look like that, hopefully. But, you know, we all come into situations that there's many different ways that it could play out. But if we think with a godly wisdom, the outcome will be much more profitable for everyone. Okay, here's the words of the... Okay, I'm going to read Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verses 13 through 18. "I have also seen this example of wisdom under the sun, and it seemed great to me. There was a little city with few men in it, and a great king came against it and besieged it, building great siege works against it. But there was found in it a poor wise man, and he, by his wisdom, delivered the city. Yet no one remembered the poor man. But I say that wisdom is better than might, though the poor man's wisdom is despised and his words are not heard. The words of the wise, heard in quiet, are better than shouting of a ruler among fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war, but one sinner destroys much good." And so I'm going to repeat this one line in there. It says, "Words of the wise, heard in quiet, are better than the shouting of a ruler among fools." How often is it that we go to Facebook or even just driving down the street and you might see people literally shouting or just talking in a restaurant and they're saying just crazy things. But Even though it's loud, you know it's not right. But these would be shouting of a ruler among fools. Just because people follow a certain person doesn't mean that what they're doing is right. And so we should remember this and let our words, don't try to switch what you're saying to appeal to others, because these days Christ isn't always the popular way, and especially if you try to go into the online world where no one has any accountability, they'll say whatever they want. We always have to act in a Christ-like way and not just try to say things to get the attention of others. Because as it says, wise words heard in quiet, just because it's not loud, you can still make an impact, and an impact that is lasting eternally. Amen. And so we've talked about how the wisdom can affect us, but how do we receive this wisdom? Is it, you don't buy it. So how do we receive it? And so, I skipped over. So I'm going to read from Job 28:12-19 first. He says, "But where shall wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its worth, and it is not found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me, and the sea says, it is not with me. It cannot be bought for gold, and silver cannot be weighed as its price. It cannot be valued in the gold of Ophir, or precious onyx or sapphire. Gold and glass cannot equal it, nor can it be exchanged for jewels or fine gold. No mention shall be made of coral or of crystal. The price of wisdom is above pearls. The topaz of Ethiopia cannot equal it, nor can it be valued in pure gold." And so we read here, there is no value on earth that can equal wisdom. In the times this was written, all these natural elements and minerals and things were very valuable. But in our lives, who cares about the coral? We don't. But for us, is it the new house, the new car, the fancy wardrobe? You name it. We know what we're talking about here. And all of that, no matter how many dollars you can put behind it, none of it can equal what godly wisdom can do in our lives. Amen. And so then James chapter 1 verse 5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives liberally and reproaches not, and it shall be given him." So we must be intentional and ask God for wisdom to receive it. We're not just going to get it because we want it. We have to be intentional and seek it in all that we do. And this is not, when I was writing this, I thought, it's not a Christmas gift. It's not something like, say we go, we're in an argument or something, and we want to act with godly wisdom, but we can't just say, pray real quick, please give me wisdom now, and receive it then. It's got to be a lifelong striving to gain wisdom, because it's not going to be a Christmas gift that you get one day and then put to use the next. And so it's just shaping our mind and our intentions to always strive for it, so that we can be the godly examples in this world. So that's the thoughts I have to share with y'all tonight, and I hope you can take something from this and intentionally seek wisdom constantly, and so that we can better be examples to those in our community. And so if you have any needs tonight, prayers of strength or even wisdom or anything, or you would like to start your walk with Christ tonight, please come with us now and stand as we sing.